You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Wood.
And I'm Jennifer Connor.
From Equestrian Businesswomen, and you're listening to Equestrian B2B, the podcast that brings together industry leaders, entrepreneurs, and equestrians for conversations about how they build and sustain a successful business.
On today's show, Jen and I review the year so far for Equestrian Businesswomen and Equestrian B2B podcast, including the Saratoga Women in Business Spectacular, what we're listening to and reading, and an update on our businesses. I think first we'll start out talking a little bit about the Saratoga Women in Business show. We were there a couple of weeks ago in mid-July, and it was, once again, really great.
Yeah.
Lots of fun things during the week that we got to do, including a judging clinic with Jen Hinman, which is always super fun because she's great. She's got great insight into it. Mm-hmm. We actually had a fairly large crowd come up, and it was a mix of kids and adults that just wanted to hear how judges judge, how they set up their card and what that looks like. And I thought that it went over super well.
Yeah, I was pleased to see so many people eager to learn. You know, there's a big push that I've seen recently, especially from USHJA, talking about ways to be involved in the industry other than being a rider or a trainer. So I thought it's cool to see that. And it's nice to see the associations and the federation that represent the sport making these other things known for their members and for people in the industry. So it was encouraging to see so many people and so many young people show up for that clinic and want to know more, because that's, I think, why they're pushing so much, is because so much of our officials are in their later years and there aren't a ton of young people coming up to fill those spots once people start retiring. So it was cool to see that. And I think it's something that we totally support too, as a way to stay involved with horses without, you know, the work of being a rider or a trainer or owning a barn, that sort of thing.
Yeah. And we were also super lucky too, because the course designer was Marina, who's been on the podcast years ago. And so finally to meet her face to face, because that was like during the pandemic and she was in Brazil, right?
Yes.
So that she was there that week and she was in the jumper ring doing the course design. That was really awesome that we got to do that.
I know. She's so great. We sat and talked for a while just about horse shows in general and where she works and what she's seeing in the sport. And it was really fun. I really like her. She's an awesome person. If you ever see her at the horse shows, she's really approachable to say hi to. If you're ever interested in course design too, like that is, you know, she's one of the best. And I think she would definitely, you know, talk to you, answer questions, that sort of thing. She was going to do a course design clinic at the show as well, but the weather got really bad. So that didn't work out. But yeah, she's awesome. It was great to see her in person.
Yeah. And I think in the future, we're going to continue to support trying to implement programs like the judging and course design, and maybe even talk to stewards, because those are all positions that people can get involved in the sport. They're kind of like, you know, there's some education behind it. It'll help you better on horse shows. Parents can do it. You know, people, I met a steward show a couple of weeks ago. She's a vet tech as well. Oh. Wow. So, yep. And I know another person who runs an in-gate who is also a practice manager. So, you know, these aren't just jobs that you can only do. You can implement them into like as a side hustle for you, which I think is nice, you know, to stay connected.
And I think once you get the education and, you know, some experience under your belt of maybe going to small shows or doing stuff at unrated shows and, you know, maybe making some connections or getting a mentor to guide you along, especially with judging, they require that. But I think horse show managers are always looking for new people to work with. You know,
yeah,
a lot of people kind of set their schedule with the shows that they've been doing for a long time. And, you know, if a schedule changes or somebody's sick or somebody retires, like horse show managers are always looking for new people to come along and fill those spots. So, and it's good to have new faces and new eyes on the sport.
Yeah.
Especially if you're younger and, you know, the shows have changed. You know, we're specifically talking about really hunter jumper shows right now, but I mean, it works in any discipline. So I think there's definitely some lanes open to be filled.
For sure. Yeah. So I think that's it's great that we support that horse show and show up and can help them kind of do some of these programs so that people can get involved and have an easy way to get in. We're not going to bite anybody. So I think we're pretty approachable. And, you know, if you have suggestions or you want to see something at Saratoga, if you go, let us know, because we're, you know, always planning for the next year right after we're finished with this year. And one of my favorite parts of it is the vendor market that we do during the Derby. It's so fun. It's so nice to connect with so many businesses in the Saratoga area, New York area. But it's crazy to me sometimes how far we have reach. There was this woman who actually reached out and she came down from Ontario and she runs a business. Her name's Jessica and she runs a European, I want to get this right. So she has the European Equestrian Experience. Mm-hmm. And she takes people to Germany to a riding school. And, you know, she came down. We did a dinner. What was that? Thursday night. And she showed up and I missed a text message from her. And she fit right in with the people that were there, started networking. And I think she might have filled a tour group that night at that dinner with people that were interested in doing it.
Amazing. I love it. It was so cool. We didn't even talk to her until the end of the night because she was so busy chatting with everyone else. And then she's like, I think I filled a tour just for coming to this one thing. And I was like, that's amazing. That's exactly why we do this, is to give people these opportunities. And then she, you know, had her table at the vendor market and I really enjoyed talking to her and getting to know her. You know, this business is also just something she does on the side, these tours.
Yeah.
She has like a government job in Ontario. I don't remember what it was, but she enjoys it. She loves horses. She loves showing people new things and traveling. And she was one of our vendors there. And it was great to see like people willing to come that far. She drove.
Yep. Yeah. And then she said she wished she brought her husband. They could have made a weekend out of it. And then I think she was even talking about trying to get her trainer to bring her horse down for next year. Like maybe they could even show at it. So, you know, and actually that show sold out this year. You know, people are starting to kind of catch on that it's like a really fun week to be there. And, you know,
so, we do lots of fun things, ice cream, social, breakfast for exhibitors. You know, they're just little perks that make an event more special and more fun. And it gets people up there and talking. And I think the vendor market, I was really happy to see so many people that wanted to talk to them.
Yeah.
Because it was all, you know, people that just came out to watch the Derby, to watch their friends or their barn mates and stuff. And they would go around to every vendor and talk to them. Lots of sales were made. And Danny, who writes the children's books, the very first group of women that came to her booth bought like 5 books. They're like, these are amazing. I'm getting them right now for my kids or my grandkids. And it was cool to see.
Yeah, I love that. And I love that there was a mix of some businesses that were there last year, but also some new businesses because some people couldn't make it. And, you know, I like that we're able to connect that. People who have businesses with our equestrian community. And I mean, even there was this woman, Anne from Paper Dolls, which is a store in Saratoga. She has lots of equestrian themed items that she brought out. And it makes me like, I want to help out the Saratoga crowd in town to bring the people from the horse show, like, hey, there's this in town. You might not be able to get there. We're going to bring somebody from town to come out, you know, so you can shop mm-hmm. with them, and just connecting people. She was great. I mean, they brought a lot of stuff and they were in and out, and, you know, it's not a long event, but she sure did it and sent me a lovely note afterwards. So, you know, I like that bringing people who might not be horse people into the equine community so that they can see what we're about. And then also remind the equine community that there's more outside the silo of equestrian.
Right.
Right. There's a town in Saratoga that is great and has great shops. And so if you can make it a priority to go there more than just for dinner, but to shop at those shops, that helps that local community. And then they accept us better.
Right. Yeah. It's something that we talked about last episode with Piper.
Exactly.
Know, getting involved in your community. And I think, you know, some of the bigger horse shows do economic influence reports, and it is amazing how much money horse shows bring to the local economy, and yeah. how little those local economies seem to know that a horse show is going on.
Right.
So, yeah. You know, it's something that people can work on, and just kind of spreading the word. If you're at an equestrian event in an area and people don't know what it is, you know, just talking to people about where you are, what you're doing, you know, how fun it is to watch, come watch the big class on Saturday, whatever it is that we can, you know, help people enjoy the fact that these events are happening in their area.
Yeah. And it was great that even Piper came by. She helped me, actually.
Yes. Yeah, so, she did. She came out of her way to just drive a few hours to Saratoga and see us and help for a couple hours. So it was great.
Yeah, that was awesome. So again, supporting the community, right?
Right.
So yeah, that was perfect. Yeah. So that was like a great event that we did, and we've been pretty busy since then.
Yeah.
All going all different directions. I was super fortunate to do something really cool, which I haven't done before, besides going to the in-person podcast, which mm-hmm. was very different compared to going to this like nationally recognized podcast called Acquired. Mm-hmm. I went into New York City to Radio City Music Hall to this sold out live podcast.
Wow.
And it was wild. Like, it was so cool. What a great experience. They just, from like the whole set that they had set up, like to the audience and, you know, the big screens. And it was very funny to me because I like the podcast a lot. It's very business minded. Lots of, I will say, I feel like the two guys are kind of nerds, but in a way that I like love. Because, like, they dig into like this research. I mean, even if you're not like, you want to hear about the NBA and how the NBA was, the Hermes episode, it like touches so close to the equine industry. Like, it's a whole history about it. And, you know, how they started in harnesses and transitioned into bags and everything that, you know, in the saddles and
using
what have
leather.
You. Yeah. Yeah. It's just like a really cool story. Very long, very long form. But their live was cool because they did an interview with Jamie Dimon from JP Morgan Chase, because that's mm-hmm. who sponsored it. Just talking about like what a wild ride they've had. And then they had, I think she was like the head of the New York Times. And she came in and kind of talked about their business a little bit. And then they finished off with just like talking about different businesses. It was really cool. Like, just really cool. They were talking about their most listened to episode, which was like about Starbucks.
Oh, yeah.
So anyway.
And there was more just other than watching the live podcast, right? Was there workshops and things around it?
Oh, no, actually, this was just a live podcast in the evening. And, you know, I mean, I just, I couldn't believe the number of people that were there to watch these guys just like interview people on the stage. So we had a good time. I went with my brother who listens to the podcast and got me turned on to the podcast. And I was like, oh, how can we apply this to equestrian B2B? Mm-hmm. You know, like I didn't know what to expect going into it. And, you know, they had like big video screens so you could see in the back. And the only thing that, you know, was hard is because it was such a big audience, they didn't do like a Q&A.
Right.
Which like at Piper's in-person podcast, they did a Q&A, which was cool because that was more interaction. But I can totally see why at Radio City Music Hall, you can't have a Q&A.
Right. Yeah, that's a little bit.
Yeah. So anyway, that I was up to doing that. And I just thought I would share that experience with everybody. And it was really cool. And I like totally recommend if you can go to something in person like that, I think you get even more out of it than if you just listen to the podcast.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, for a fun event to do.
Yeah. Like just that being in person and, you know, seeing, like I was just interested in the types of people that were there.
Yeah.
And I actually had somebody comment on my photo of it and she was like, I love that podcast. I had no idea they were going to be in town. I totally would have gone.
Yeah. Next year.
Yeah. Yeah. What else have you been up to? Anything good?
I got a vacation for 3 days. That was awesome.
That's amazing.
Yep. And I wanted to know kind of what you have been reading or listening to or watching. And I thought we could kind of share a couple things that we've enjoyed lately that others might as well.
Yeah, well, currently I'm working my way through Spin Selling because we have, it was issued to me by my company to read before our national commercial meeting, which is coming up next week. So I have listened to it on the audio version, and now I'm going back through the book to read it so that maybe I'll absorb it a little more. It's interesting and a different way to think about selling to people, which is odd for me because I never feel like I'm actually selling to people. I just feel like I'm living it as a lifestyle. Mm-hmm. You know, like so I'm interested to see how it all gets connected at the meeting. You know, I'm sure they're going to have us doing role playing and stuff like that. So I'm interested to see how that goes.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. And I've just been listening to my normal podcast, My First Million. They crack me up. They just did an episode about this guy who, you know, everybody says you have to focus on things. And he doesn't, like, he, like, hears something and he's like, oh, squirrel, let's try that. And I'm like, hey, that's like me. That's exactly me, right? So anyway, he was talking about, like, in New Zealand or Australia, there's somebody making hundreds of thousands of dollars a year by having, like, a barrel in the middle of a body of water. And you have a chance to win, like, $10,000 if you hit a golf ball into it. And, like, they literally have a guy sitting on the side of the road with like an iPad and they have clubs for you to rent and, you know, you get a bucket of balls and they're making a ton of money. It's not even like near any destination. So
it's still random,
right? It's so random and they're making a ton of money because it's like an impossible thing to do. Right. So anyway, I was thinking about that. I've been thinking about that lately. And I'm like, wait, what if you did it like this? What? And then they talk about it on the podcast. They're like, all right, let's break this down. Like, what if you put it near a destination? And I'm like, yeah. So now I need to buy land and just put like a flaming barrel. People like shoot golf balls out or something. I don't know. But yeah. So it always gets me thinking though, like about random things. And then I was like, oh, good. I'm glad I'm not the only one that's like not focused.
Trust me, you're definitely not the only one.
Well, do you know my husband calls me Cosmo Kramer?
I know.
Because of all my crazy ideas.
I love that.
Yep. So.
Well, that's really cool.
Yeah. How about you? What have you been into?
I pre-ordered the book by Shannon Watts. She's the founder of Moms Demand Action. And she no longer runs that organization, but she wrote a new book that's called Fired Up, How to Turn Your Spark into a Flame and Come Alive at Any Age.
I think you sent me a link to that.
I sent you that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's in my list. Yeah. And, you know, she talks a lot about, if you follow her on social media, you know, about women's role in business and in the community, you know, kind of working towards what you want to do and not, you know, she calls it living on autopilot, especially if you're an older woman. Like, it's not too late to just change what you do and try something else. So I'm excited to get into that book more and, you know, read about what can be done or kind of how to live that mindset. And because I pre-ordered, I'm a part of a program called Firestarter University.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And it's like an online community. And it's basically just, you know, connecting with other people who have read the book and learning more outside of the book, maybe, you know, doing like in-person or on Zoom activities, talking to people in the community that have read it. So I'm excited about that and to see, you know, where that could lead as well.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah.
I heard of that Firestarter University. Yeah. Yep. I think maybe because you sent it to me.
That's the email I sent you.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really cool. Yeah. Anything about networking. I'm all into networking these days.
I mean, know you are.
it's my favorite thing to do.
And the other thing I think I've mentioned on the podcast before, one of the resources that I feel is really great for entrepreneurs is the Tory Burch Foundation. She has a really awesome free newsletter. And if you go on the website, there's so much to read and watch that's all free. And it's all from these amazing women in business and all sorts of topics. No matter what kind of business you have, it can apply to that. So I've read a lot of the more blog type of articles, and I've watched two of their online seminars. But you can go back and watch all of their online seminars. There's, you know, ones like crisis comms readiness. There's logistics and shipping for small business, thought leadership strategy, scaling for retail, how to use grants in your business. Like, I mean, it's incredible what they have on this website that is open to anyone. And yeah, there's so much education. There's so many tools. There's like a link if you're starting a business, like that helps you build a business plan. There's a link to, based on what your business is, finding funding for it.
Wow.
Yeah. And they have other things like fellowship programs and things like that. But there's so much for people that just want some more education or need help with their business.
Wow, that's really cool.
Yeah. So great. I wanted to kind of point that out because maybe people don't know about it.
Yeah. Well, I don't remember you mentioning it before. So
yeah.
So lucky now, I'm not wearing them right this minute, but I got glasses. So now I can read everything.
Yay.
I just forgot to put them on now. But when
Welcome to the club.
Thanks. When I remember to put them on, though, it's amazing. And I can actually feel like I want to read, because forever I haven't really been reading books because I'm like, I can't see anything. But now I can.
Oh, boy, Jen.
Like every time I wear them, I look at my husband and I'm like, wow, these really do make a difference. Except
it's shocking how fast your eyesight goes.
Yeah. Well, now I just have to remember to put them on. But I wasn't reading anything for this podcast, so I didn't think to put them on. I can see you.
Right.
You're just a little crisper with the glasses on.
Exactly. But you can leave them off for this. I don't need to be crisp.
Wait, we will get back to this maybe in a little bit when we're going to talk about another topic. But anyway, yeah, so and I will start looking at that. I need that foundation. Because I need to learn some stuff. for sure.
Yeah, check it out.
Yeah. And I know you wanted to chit chat a little bit about horse grooms.
Yeah. Our friends, Danette and Amy from Horse Grooms, they were on episode 77 of EQ B2B, and they are working on their next guide to Wellington. So if you're part of that crowd that goes to Wellington in the winter, Florida, or you're visiting, she puts together like a really amazing guide to the entire town for anybody who's looking for different resources there. And we will be a small part of it as well. But I just wanted to give a shout out to her and the fact that that'll be coming out this fall.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, circling back to my eyeglasses comment. So finally, Rider's Rent is up and 100% live. So I know.
Yay, clap, applause, cheering.
Finally. Yes, yes. It's very funny because I did back in the July 1st episode, I did like a little commercial. I don't know if anybody heard it or not, that we were ready to go, except we weren't ready to go and I didn't know it. And so then when I said I was ready to go, we needed to be live. Then my developers decided that they were going to take some time to debug our system or whatever that means. I don't really know. But then some things weren't aligning and working. But we finally figured it all out. And now we're ready to go and take people on. But I had sent it out to a few people to take a look at the website. Somebody came back and they're like, well, it's really good. And your pictures are super crisp. But like at the top, your logo looks a little blurry. And I was like, it does.
Yeah.
Maybe I should put my glasses on and look at it. So we're working on that right now. And that's more like, you know, like a pixel high def
sizing.
Yeah, yeah, sizing issue. It's really like nothing, but I didn't even realize that it wasn't that crisp. So I'm looking at it because I'm blind. So anyway, very excited about it. It has been such a learning process to go through this, the development and all the things that like you don't even realize that as you're going along, like connecting your payments and what that means and what that looks like on the back end and how the flow through and our platform and working with developers overseas and sales tax.
Yeah. So, can you explain a little bit about the platform and how it works? Because maybe some people don't know like what you've been building from scratch.
Yeah. So Rider's Rent is a peer-to-peer equestrian clothing rental marketplace. But it's not just rentals. You can also sell things on it. So I like to tell people to think about it as Airbnb and not rent the runway because like the only clothes that are on it right now are some of my clothes that I put on so people can see that they're, you know, what it looks like. Mm-hmm. But we're really trying to connect equestrians' closets throughout the US and really work on sustainability and affordability for everybody, giving access to clothing and trying it out. Like for me as an adult amateur who likes European brands, I'm always like, oh man, I don't even know what size I am. Right. Mm, and I don't, and they're very expensive and it's cheaper if you get them in Europe, or it was, I don't know if it is anymore, but it was cheaper to get them in Europe, but then you can't return it.
Right.
It's not cost effective to return it if you're not the right size. So I wasted a little bit of money doing that. And I was like, you know what? It would be a lot better to be able to rent a size. I don't want to go to a tech shop and just try on clothes and not be a patron of them. So,
right.
You know, I feel like, you know, if I did it online. So anyway, so it's that I know there's lots of kids who go to pony finals, whose parents might not be able to afford a shad belly or a fancy one. So they might be able to rent it for short term or want to rent it, going to any kind of championships.
Even show clothes in general for kids that grow so fast. Like, why buy new clothes every 6 months to a year when you could rent them and then put them back on the marketplace for the next kid? You know?
Exactly.
In good shape.
Yeah. And that's right. Because kids, they grow out of clothes in one season. So midway through, you might be replacing it. And so I feel like it gives an opportunity for a lot of things. First of all, it's going to help people be able to find something that they might not want to just purchase outright and wear it and see if it's comfortable and they like it and they like the brand. I think that it's also going to be a good place where you could maybe make a little side hustle out of it, right? I feel like if you keep buying your kid nice clothes and they keep outgrowing them, then you can just keep renting them out and making more money to be able to replace them. And I see it almost like where people have gone out and bought rental properties and just do Airbnb out of them as, you know, a second income or another revenue stream. And I also hope at some point that maybe we can get some tax shops involved where instead of them putting their clothes in a back room for consignment or sales room, maybe they'll utilize our platform to say, oh, hey, like we could rent this out three times and that will cover the cost of it. And then we'll sell it for a discounted rate or, you know, or we're going to just keep renting it out, especially last year's coat or something, because there's a market for it. And what we're doing too is we're opening up the market across the country. Yes. It's not just in your local
area. Whatever
you
can find. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and it's all disciplines as well. So we are hoping to get people from Saddle Seat and Western Pleasure. We hope to get people who drive and hunt and do pretty much anything in the equestrian sport to be able to connect them and create a community where, you know, they're sharing their closets back and forth. So,
yeah, I love it. It's so cool. And I love the goals of it, especially with sustainability and affordability. We talk so much about how expensive the sport is. And, you know, here is a key to being able to do things more affordably and not have to buy all new clothes, especially if you're someone who doesn't compete very often, or if you're just getting started in the industry. And or if you're changing disciplines and you don't want to go all in and buy everything at once, you could just rent something and try it out. So I love it. I'm so excited for you, and everybody needs to go check it out.
Yes, definitely. Definitely. Because it's been a while in the making and it's been a lot of ups and downs and excitement and then tears.
And tears of frustration.
Yes. And my partner is Chelsea Dexter, and she was on when we talked about building
one of
app.
Our first episodes.
Yeah. And she always she talked about her, if you're not crying in the shower with a shower beer.
Yeah.
We've definitely both had those moments through this, especially in the last 3 weeks when we thought we were ready. And then guess what? We weren't.
Yeah.
So
I think it's, and it's great to talk about things like that, because I think so many people only kind of hear the success story and maybe don't hear all of the setbacks that people have on their way to launching something or being successful or that sort of thing. So it's great to hear people, you know, talk honestly about what it's really like and how frustrating building websites is, especially when it's complicated as that.
Yeah. Yeah. Because when you first go to it, it looks like, oh, it's all simple. But then when you actually sign up for an account and you get into the back end, it's like a shop. Like it, you know, to you can be a buyer or a seller on a and have a shop. So, you know, it's definitely the back end that is what was the most work to kind of like look the way we wanted it to, you know, work the way we wanted it to work. And it was a real
smoothly. Yeah. It makes sense for people, you know, like if it's a hard, if it's complicated when somebody first signs up, they're likely not to come back, right? So it's really that first impression on a business like this means a huge deal, because you've got to be able to make the journey really smooth for people and easy to do, and then they'll keep on using it.
Yeah. And you know what? Like the version one, you're stuck between making it perfect and just getting it out there, right? There's so many views on it. Like, oh, well, just get it out there. And so we are fairly proud of our version one, but we certainly know that there will be other versions as we can put money into it and build it and grow it. And so we're looking for feedback from people too. Like, what do they think would make it easier? And then we can go back to our developers and say, hey, how much is this going to cost to like change this and add this and whatever? And right now it's web-based, and eventually we would like to have an app for it. But the web-based was a good place to start because now we can drive people to an app versus trying to get people to just download an app. So,
which is really difficult to start just with an app.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's why we kind of picked this way to get it up and going and just get it out there and get it going. So it's funny though, because I'm like, I want my friends to do it, but at the same time, I don't want them to hate it. So I'm like, I wouldn't mind if strangers told me they didn't like it, but
well, I doubt any of your friends would say they hate it. They would just give you constructive criticism.
Yeah, I know. Chelsea's like, can you give it to some people that are going to be gentle with us? But anyway, I mean, we like it. So, you know, it was a good starting place, and we'll see where it goes. But anyway, it's a lot going
Very
on.
Cool.
Yeah. Thanks.
I love that journey for you and being able to share it here.
Yeah. And I think that at some point, once we get up and running, I can kind of peel back the curtains and talk about even more of, you know, how we did it and what went on to get to where we're at. But we need to make sure it's like semi-successful, which it will be. It will be. That's what I have to just keep telling me. It's successful for sure.
Absolutely.
So anyway, yeah. Anything else on your mind you want to chit chat about today?
No, I think we kind of covered it. And, you know, just looking forward to doing more this fall and leading into the winter again. We're both going to be traveling a lot for our regular jobs in the coming months. And then we are going to be working with getting an event up and running at Terra Nova this fall, which will be a brand new event for us. It's a beautiful equestrian center on the west coast of Florida, down by Sarasota. So that'll be awesome. Yeah. And then coming back to Wellington in January and looking to do some fun stuff at that event as well that we'll be announcing hopefully in the coming months.
Yeah. Great. I'm looking forward to it. All of it. Bring it on.
Yep.
All righty. Well, we're going to wrap up the session today then. You can find the link to the show notes at www.eqbusinesswomen.com. Equestrian B2B is out twice a month on the 1st and the 15th.
You can find out more at eqbusinesswomen.com and follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Find Equestrian B2B wherever you get your podcasts, and be sure to follow, subscribe, and leave a review.
Now go listen and read.